TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Vandana Shiva, Soil, Not Oil. This is the keynote speech by the Indian physicist, ecologist, seed collector, anti-GMO and Monsanto campaigner, teacher of organic agriculture, author, and founder of many vibrant organizations. Just to mention one, Navdanya is serving more than 500,000 farmers, teaches organic farming, and established 60 seed banks in 16 states across India. In a life spanning local action and international politics, academic teaching and gardening alongside her rural neighbors, Vandana Shiva has become an inspiration to many. Her books include Stolen Harvest, Earth Democracy, Biopiracy, The Plunder of Nature and Knowledge, Water Wars, and Soil Not Oil. This book, first published in 2007, has become influential beyond its initial success because it addresses the most urgent issue of our time, climate change. As we are becoming more aware that industrial agriculture is a major cause of greenhouse gas emissions that bring about climate change, Vandana Shiva and others are now making the case that restoring the soil and recovering organic agriculture around the world can not only dramatically limit climate change, but even has the capacity to sequester carbon back into the soil that has already been emitted into the air. In September 2015, a two-day conference took place in Richmond, California. They discussed this timely potential in more detail. In honor of Vandana Shiva, the conference and organization were named Soil, Not Oil, and she was asked to give the keynote address. Here she is, Vandana Shiva.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Miguel, for everything you did to make the Soil Not Oil conference happen. I wrote Soil Not Oil because I realized that even though an industrial agriculture model was such a big part of the problem of climate change, agriculture was totally missing from the discussion on climate change. That what we are talking about really is our role on this beautiful earth, our role either to be passive, because I don't think any of us are big players in the destruction, but we do lend support to that system when we don't break away from it. First in our minds and our hearts, and then through the actions that we take, through the way we live. And Soil Not Oil came so naturally to me to say, we have lived for about 2.5 centuries in an age of oil, which built on 500 years of the age of colonialism, but it aggravated every trend of colonization. There would be no oil empire today without wars. Oil means wars. The age of oil is the age of wars for oil and for other resource grabs. Because it's only with the age of oil that it became possible to expand the footprint anywhere. If the British hadn't shifted their production on the basis of coal, the earlier stage of fossil fuels, they wouldn't have been able to come to this land to grow cotton. It's those machines that ran on coal that had such a huge appetite. The spinning wheel that Gandhi spun had a limited appetite. So the land was taken from the Native Americans, and then the big cotton plantations need workers. Africans were grabbed, brought to this country as slaves. India had to be colonized for her cotton as well as indigo. And the entire colonial expansion was driven first by fossil fuels in the form of coal and then oil. The age of oil should get over, so the age of soil can begin. We know now, after being fooled for about 75 years, that the soil is the most amazing living ecosystem, most diverse, more diverse than the plants that we see above the soil or the fish in the ocean, the microorganisms. We are still trying to catch up with what's going on in the soil. And because we built our economics, our politics, our cosmology around oil. Industrialism begins with fossil fuels. The entire thinking in terms of a fragmented mindset, in terms of a separation from nature, a separation within nature, all of that is a result of the fact that we could ignore the vibrant ecological cycles of the earth and imagine that we could cheat nature with fossil fuels. We created an entire scientific and technological edifice to help us with that cheating. But beyond a point, the limits come and hit. Climate change is one of those limits, where planetary boundaries are being broken, but the consequences are real and they are huge. A second consequence was the way we've defined the economy. I get so surprised when they talk about efficiency and productivity in agriculture. How can industrial agriculture, which uses 10 times more inputs as energy to provide one calorie of food, be called efficient? It is so inefficient that if any other sector worked on that logic, it would collapse. The reason industrial agriculture carries on inefficiently is because it is subsidized at every level. It's subsidized through subsidies to the fossil fuel industry. It is subsidized through subsidies to chemical fertilizers that are based on fossil fuels. My own country in 2008 was giving so much subsidy, it was nearly a trillion rupees of subsidy to nitrogen fertilizers. And that was more than our defense budget. And where does that subsidy go? To the Cargills. Where did the fertilizers come from? In the soil, they come from the amazing microorganisms, from the earthworms, from all of the richness of life. Nitrogen fertilizers made synthetically come from the same factories that made explosives during the war. It's inefficient in other ways. But the trick is, you've totally redefined the economy. And you know, I sometimes do get amazed at the human species, that we can be taken to such levels of stupidity. For centuries on end, and we accept it. Take the stupidity of measuring productivity in agriculture on the basis of reducing human beings in farming. Wendell Berry has written this beautiful essay of farmland without farmers. Farmers are carers and stewards of the seed and the soil and the climate. And that's the most important point, farmers and gardeners. They're definitely not producers of commodities. They're producers of nourishment. Very often the debate will come up and people say, oh, but organic is costly. And I remind them about the subsidies, $400 billion annually, or more than $1 billion a day, to make costly oil-based food. We literally are eating oil, as I've written in my book, Soil, Not Oil. We're eating oil. Normally, the measure in industrial agriculture based on fossil fuels is yield per acre. And yield only measures the commodity that left the farm. It doesn't measure the output, the diversity that you can grow on the farm. It doesn't measure the health of the soil, the richness of biodiversity, whether your soils have the ability to conserve moisture or not, an issue that is so relevant today in California. You know, with 0.5% organic matter in soil, we can have 80,000 liters per hectare of water in the soil. We wouldn't experience drought. We see that all the time in our farms. In the same area with the same drought, the organic farms are producing food. And the chemical farms, called the Green Revolution farms in India, have absolute crop failure. With 1%, you can hold 100,000 liters, and with 5%, 800,000 liters. So the answer to drought is the same answer to nourishment and health, because industrial agriculture has produced nutritionally empty commodities loaded with toxics. And the damage to health is twofold, because of the micronutrient deficiencies on the one hand, but the toxics on the other. And if we start to internalize those costs, we just couldn't afford farming with oil and eating oil. It would just be too costly for our bodies and the planet. We would pack it up. And we will have to pack it up, because we are the ones who, with the earth, are paying the full price. We then decided last year, we said, let's really assess what's happening with the hidden costs, external costs of chemical farming in India. And the two big costs we took into account were environmental costs. So the government does maintain data on how much soil has been eroded. They maintain data on how many bird deaths took place because of pesticide poisoning. So we took all of that data from official sources, and we added to it the data on something new we've seen as a result of the age of oil in agriculture: farmers committing suicide. So the figures in India, according to official statistics, have crossed 300,000. The suicides began in the cotton area, and it began after Monsanto started to monopolize the cotton seed by illegal means. I have a very long article on my website on how Monsanto wrote and broke laws to dominate India's cotton supply. They collected royalties without even having a patent. The price of seed jumped 80,000%. No farmer can afford it. Debt is inevitable, and all the suicides are related to debt. But this spring, just as we were getting ready to celebrate our harvest festival in April, we had untimely rain, which is another aspect of climate change. We had hailstorms, hail that big. And the entire crop in northern India was destroyed, except in the farms that were growing native seeds and doing organic farming. And I only know this because farmers who are members of Navdanya would call me up and said, Didi, you know, in India we make everyone our relation, and I'm the elder sister. And they'd say, Didi, I used the old seeds, and my wheat is standing tall. But farmers who had been trapped into using chemicals, using the new varieties designed to use chemicals, they're not miracle varieties. They're basically carriers of toxics. Transiting beyond oil is vital to human survival. The planet will survive somehow. She'll have different life forms. She might have a different temperature, but she'll carry on. We are too small to threaten her life, but we are able, in our small-mindedness, to destroy the amazing conditions for our species that Gaia has offered us. The right temperature, the right kinds of plants. And all she asks of us in return is a little service to the soil. That's all we have to do. Give back to the soil with love. Remember, we are part of the soil, that we are the soil. And the rest she takes care of. In all these years of doing ecological agriculture, I've decided to not use the word food production. We use the word soil regeneration. Because food is a gift the earth gives back to us in return for our gift of love and labor and care, for giving back soil fertility. And that is exactly what at the scientific level is closing the carbon cycle. The carbon cycle has been ruptured because we are digging deep into the earth, pulling out the fossil fuels, burning them up at a very high level. And while the earth has an amazing capacity to take the carbon dioxide emitted through natural processes and absorb it again through natural processes, the most amazing being photosynthesis, of taking the carbon dioxide out of the air, putting it in the plant, through the plant into the soil, and we join up and increase the organic matter, intensify the biodiversity, return part of it to the soil, sustain ourselves, but also sustain other species. So we've been just giving back to the earth in every way we can. And one of the things that I haven't managed to really measure yet, but I see it every day on our farm, the dwarf varieties of the Green Revolution hardly give you any organic matter and therefore block your return of carbon. Older varieties are that tall. The millet varieties are huge. We have saved a rice variety that grows 18 feet tall in the floodwaters of Bihar. And of course, Bill Gates, who loves to work to promote Monsanto, has just written a piece, which my colleague Ruchi was sharing with me, saying how he is bringing to Bihar, through innovation, flood-tolerant rices. You cannot genetically engineer flood tolerance. You cannot genetically engineer drought tolerance. You cannot genetically engineer salt tolerance. These are complex traits where many genes act together. Genetic engineering is such a crude technology, it can only introduce one gene through a gene gun. It is not able to understand the relationships of the entire genome in all its complexity and all its capacity to self-organize and self-regulate. So with organic farming, the measures in Doon Valley on our organic farms are 2.2 tons per hectare. The figures are available now that with a 2 tons per hectare increase in organic matter, which I call it a thank you to the earth and the soil. It's just our thank you for supporting us. We could pull out 10 gigatons from the atmosphere. Through organic farming, we don't just reduce the 40% greenhouse gases we've pumped up. We do more, we pull out the stocks that have accumulated. If we say, if each of us commits ourselves, that whatever is the land on which our lives depend, either directly as gardeners or directly as farmers, or indirectly through the food we eat, we are going to make sure that our living on this planet returns to the earth the carbon that belongs to her. And the beauty of it is, it doesn't just address the climate crisis, it addresses the health crisis, which is coming from eating oil. It addresses the crisis of other aspects of the ecological problem, the water crisis, the desertification, the biodiversity extinction and erosion. But I think most of all, It allows us to reclaim Earth democracy. It allows us to play an active role to truly deserve the citizenship of this beautiful planet. So when I talk about soil, not oil, I'm really talking about the birthing of an Earth democracy. A birthing of an Earth democracy with us celebrating what Richard Heinberg has called the powering down in terms of fossil fuel, shedding that extra baggage that has been imposed on us through illusion after illusion after illusion. And while we power down in fossil fuels, we power up in our own capacities to make change, our capacity to live better by consuming less of the earth. And, you know, since I am in a part of the world which has deep poverty as well as huge wealth, and I also work with the government of Bhutan on this transition to 100% organic Bhutan, and Bhutan has said we will not measure GDP, which is also a part of this age of oil. Because the age of oil very cleverly said, the more you destroy nature and turn it into commodities, the more growth you have. The more you destroy society and its ability to provide for itself and make it dependent on buying its junk food, its bottled water, the more growth you have. The more sick the people are, and the more drugs have to be bought from the same companies that also gave us the sickness through the poisons. We mustn't forget that those who want to control the seed today are the same industries that have been the ones pushing poisons in farming, the agrochemicals, and are the same companies that made those chemicals for war. That agriculture has become a war against the planet and our bodies is not an accident. Its origins are war. And the new birthing we have to do very consciously, very collectively, in solidarity, not just amongst ourselves, but across species. And that's the beauty of our times. That while cultures have existed, my own culture gave me the word Vasudheva Kutumbakam, the earth has a family. Chief Seattle said, we are part of the web of life, not outside it. Pachamama, no matter where you look in the world, cultures realize we were part of the earth family. The age of oil for 250 years has tried to make us forget it. We can remember again that we are the soil. Work with ecosystems, with life, with the soil and with the seed. And the new knowledge that's coming about how every little root hair in the soil is the neuron of the plant communicating all the time with the living soil. How in our gut are this amazing microbiome, which is being killed by the Roundup and the Roundup ready crops. That the Roundup is killing all the beneficial organisms in the soil and then leading to pathogenic organisms. That is being empty-brained. To not realize that health of the soil and our health comes from the living diversity, both within us and on the planet. So as the age of oil ends, and it won't end by itself, we'll have to work with a lot of love, a lot of compassion, a lot of hope, but a lot of fun and a lot of joy. It's time to stop thinking of climate change through fear. It's time to start thinking of climate change as an opportunity the earth has given us to return to our roots, to return to the soil. And as more and more of us make that shift, the age of oil will be unstoppable. I would leave you with a quotation from one of our ancient Vedas, which we have quoted in Terra Viva, the manifesto on our soil, our commons, our future. A new vision for planetary citizenship. This new vision is also an ancient vision. And the Vedas say, upon this handful of soil, our survival depends. Husband it, and it will grow our food, our fuel, and our shelter, and surround us with beauty. Abuse it, and the soil will collapse and die, taking humanity with it. We should be around as a species 2,000 years down the line for people to say, in time, our ancestors woke up. Thank you.
That was the inspiring finale of the keynote address by the Indian ecologist, physicist, and seed collector, Vandana Shiva. She spoke at the Soil Not Oil Conference in Richmond, California, on September 4, 2015. Industrial agriculture is a major cause of greenhouse gas emissions that bring about climate change. Vandana Shiva and others are now making the case that restoring the soil and recovering organic agriculture around the world can not only dramatically limit climate change, but even has the capacity to sequester carbon back into the soil. She's the author of many books, among them Earth Democracy, Monoculture of the Mind, The Violence of the Green Revolution, and Making Peace with the Earth. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. While you're there, you can subscribe to weekly free podcasts. Downloads are free, and we appreciate any size donation to keep TUC Radio on the air. TUC Radio takes its name from an aeronautical term. Time of useful consciousness is the time between the beginning of oxygen deficiency and the loss of consciousness, the brief moment in which a pilot may save the plane. My name is Maria Glodden. Thank you for listening.